Hello, this is William Cooper. Welcome to Awakening Together. How's your day going? I hope well. Isn't what you want and what we all want is to be our natural happy self, relaxed and radiating beautiful loving light? Everything around us is light. It is consciousness. We see what we are, and in this body, we channel light. We've talked about that before. Well, why isn't that happening? This imprint somehow has covered us up, and that's what I'd like to explore today as we further discuss PTSD and how to solve and release this covering that's blocking us so deeply. Normally, we come to awakening from the outside in. We feel pain, so we look at why are we feeling pain. That brings us to our thoughts and our emotions, and we look to release those. Perhaps we go through psychotherapy. Perhaps we change our life. Perhaps we do a lot of things, and all of these things are good things to do. But today, I'd like to look at it from the other way, from what our true self is and what happens to bring us to the state of affairs that we and the world are in now. To see is to be free. So as we see this clearly, we'll know exactly what to do, and then we'll talk about how to do it. All of this should end up making a lot of sense and being very doable for you. If it doesn't, just disregard it. But I think it will make some sense. Okay, so what's underneath this covering that's blocking us? Without that covering, we would be radiant, and we are radiant light. Beyond that, reaches outside of creation, and you can only know that part of yourself through intuition. Very quiet, very perfect, and within it is the potential for every possible thing to occur. Very powerful, yet very silent. What we do feel and can see is that which is created, and that's the light that that flows through us, that infinite beyond creation turns into light as it flows into this creation and into the world. Everything is made of this consciousness, this light. In our natural awakened self, we're relaxed and we flow light. Everything that we see around us glows with light. We are light. We see light. Everything is light. And that light feels like bliss and joy, and everything is connected because it's the same thing, and that feels like love. So that's our natural state. We don't have to do anything to achieve that. That's what we are all the time under the surface, if we're covered up. If we're not covered up, we just experience that all the time. So that's nothing to aspire for. That is what you already are. The thing to aspire for is, if you're not experiencing that, is to let the covering go. Let it dissolve. Because it creates pain and it obscures your view. You can't enjoy life. You don't feel your natural joy and beauty and love. And so you make up a facsimile, an emotional love, an emotional joy. You put on a happy face, you read positive thinking books, you know, you go to spiritual events, which are good things to go to, by the way. But that's what we do because we're desperate. We're desperate to feel ourselves again, right? So how is all this happening? How did we get covered up? Okay, let's again look from the inside out. Let's go to our core. We're light. And then what happens? We take in an imprint. There's a bruise on the surface. It's an imprint. We take in some kind of felt message. It's a feeling, maybe more than a thought, but it's a feeling of insecurity or doubt, or that we're no good, or we're unlovable, or some kind of just felt experience. Perhaps it comes from a past life, perhaps it comes from childhood. I'm not saying where it comes from, I'm just saying it's there pretty much for all of us. You know, like I said in the last podcast, culture. Maybe it comes from our culture. Who knows? But we are bruised and we have this imprint. Let's just say if it's doubt, we start with that. It's a felt sense of doubt. And then we form thoughts to solve that doubt. We form a personality to solve that doubt. Everything looks suspicious to us as we put our thoughts together. Everything creates insecurity as we look through these thoughts, because underneath it all, we are doubtful. And so everything that we see looks doubtful, and we form a personality to cope with what we believe is a doubtful world. If we're anxious, perhaps we form an anxious personality. Maybe we believe everything is a conspiracy. Maybe that's the lens that we look through. As we create these thoughts, remember, thoughts are simply hallucinations. We hallucinate some kind of reality. It's generated from this felt bruise. So as we look through these thoughts, they're like film strips or images. We talked about that in our last podcast. It's like putting on a 3D glasses, virtual reality. And as we look through it, everything seems so real. It's not. It's just thoughts. But just like you can't see the color pink if you have on pink sunglasses, you can't see through this virtual reality that you yourself have created in order to solve the bruise which is underneath it. So you're looking outward for a solution that can never be found. Now, fortunately, thoughts are not very strong. Although they can be devastating, and this virtual reality can cause depression, suicide, it can ruin your life, destroy relationships, change the way that you look at the world, the thoughts themselves are not that strong. So spiritual practices cut through those thoughts and that virtual reality, and you get a burst for a moment of clarity, perhaps, once you've been doing your spiritual practices. You get a burst, and you feel good, and you feel your blissful self for a moment, maybe during your yoga or your meditation or whatever you're doing, your mantras, your chanting, your praying, you're going to church, whatever it is, you feel a release. Unfortunately, because you don't touch the underlying, the very first bruise, though you cut through that personality that's built on top of that bruise, you cut through it for a moment, it reforms quickly, and the stress that you perhaps released forms again. And so every day you need to do your spiritual practices over and over and over and over, because the underlying problem has never been solved. You'll notice every day, perhaps when you wake up, you have a certain attitude underneath everything that just sort of starts to fuel your day. Again, maybe it's anxiety, or it could be anger, or it could be you have a chip on your shoulder, or maybe you're anxious or scared, or maybe you don't feel good enough, or whatever it is. It's not a true thing, but you believe it's true. It's beyond thought, because it's your very first felt sense of yourself. We've talked in previous podcasts about the personality system called the Enneagram, and it looks at 9 different possibilities that Absolutely, everybody forms a personality around. There are 9 different ways to form our thoughts to make personalities. So we fall into 1 of 9 categories. As we look through our thoughts that we formed, it's like looking through a kaleidoscope, or again, those virtual reality glasses. That's how we see the world. And we're stuck. You can't heal the mind with the mind, because the mind is sick. It's formed around a bruise, and it's sick. A sick mind cannot heal a sick mind. It just doesn't work. So you'll notice that spiritual practices are generally around you stopping. Just stop. That's what meditation is, right? Stop. Sit down. You can't be distracted if you sit down. You can't get in the refrigerator and eat a pie. You just sit and let things unwind. You don't get involved with your thoughts, but you let them unwind and dissipate. You let that energy dissipate until all there's left is you that's watching. And what is that? That's you. It's just you. It's not you that's watching. It's just you, awareness aware of itself. We've talked about that plenty in earlier podcasts, so I won't go back over that. I will say this, though, and you've heard it before. It's about neuroplasticity, and it's about the way psychology often treats things like obsessive-compulsive disorder, things that are motivated by a deep felt sense, where you repeat over and over and you can't stop. Well, that's what we do, but since so many people do it on a manageable level, we think it's normal. And the phrase is, neurons that fire together, wire together. So the way that you treat something like obsessive compulsive disorder, or one of the ways that you would treat that, is to have the person, as much as they can, not follow through on what that bruise is telling them to do. For instance, if they feel very insecure and that they're going to get in trouble and maybe they feel guilty, maybe that's what that first felt sense is for them, they feel like, oh, I better check the stove and make sure it's off, or I better do this, or I better do that, and I better do it over and over so that I make doubly sure that everything is okay. I've got to make very much sure that everything's okay. Well, the more you do that, the more that becomes a habit, and next thing you know, you have obsessive compulsive disorder. Well, that's what we have in our lives. I hate to break it to everybody, but that's what we've got. That's what our personality is made of. We obsessively act like ourselves, our personality selves, not our real self. So we have to stop this. Okay, that's called meditation. It's hard. Nobody wants to sit down and do meditation. Just like somebody with obsessive compulsive disorder, they don't want to not turn off the stove. They want to check it every second. They have to work at it. It's hard. They have to have courage, and they do. We have to have courage, and we do. So, backing up now, we are light. And as we look, we see there is a bruise. When we wake up in the morning, there is the sense of who we are. It feels so real. It feels right. It feels right because it was something that we were told, or some imprint just by osmosis, maybe in our culture or our family, or we observed something, but we took something in deeply and beyond a thought, just a feeling. I feel insecure. Some kind of feeling. I feel angry. And it stuck. That's what I'll call PTSD, because as you move backwards through your spiritual practice, you do your yoga, you meditate, you relax, things open up, you see that you're not your thoughts, you're not your emotions, and you let them go, let them go, go, let them go, and you keep going back, 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 and you finally get to this felt sense, guess what? It doesn't release. You have awakening, but you're in pain at the same time because it doesn't release, and it keeps generating thoughts. Because in PTSD, what happens is a term called reenactment. You keep trying to reenact the original bruise, and so you keep thinking and thinking and thinking. You keep trying to solve it. That's what thoughts are. Their job is to solve a problem. That's why we take the effort to hallucinate or think. I'll call it thinking, but it's the same thing. That same process. It's a hallucination, but we take the effort to do it in order to picture, to form a hallucination of solving it. How can we solve it? We are looking through our virtual reality glasses and we're trying to picture it and work it out, work it out, work it out. So we have incessant thoughts and they just don't stop. So we can be very awake and feeling bliss. We could get that far in our spiritual practice, but unless that first bruise releases, there's not a clear flow in our life. We keep generating thoughts and emotions and troubles and worries. And that's how you can have an awake person that is at the same time very depressed or anxious or obsessive compulsive. You can have that. Because that bruise hasn't released. Why hasn't it released? Okay, now we see the bruise. We're looking at the bruise, let's say. We're experiencing it. And it's releasing energy, and that goes on for decades. Why? It just doesn't release. Have you ever noticed in your life, you see something, you work on it, but it keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. Why? Because we've got post-traumatic stress disorder. It may not be like the kind that we recognize, like some horrible big event. We've been through a war or some horrible thing, but it's enough. We went through enough, and that's imprinted. And until it releases, it's generating everything every day that we then use spiritual practices to try to dispel, but then it forms again the next day. And then we, guess what? We end up going to yoga the next day and we keep doing our chanting and we keep doing our praying because the problem is still there. So what do we do? Here are three steps. Go slowly, pendulate, receive, and soak up relaxation. Let me explain. If you have a tight muscle, a muscle cramp, if you can go slowly and begin to soak up relaxation or stretch that muscle to help it release and then soak up relaxation, eventually that muscle, with a good massage, as it absorbs relaxation, that knotted up muscle will relax. It will release and it will dissolve. You don't want to move too quickly or you'll injure that muscle. You want it to give it time to soak up that relaxation, unwind, let go, become more supple, receive more relaxation, relax, 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 and then that tension is gone. It's completely gone. There's nothing left to work with because it's gone. The same with these inner cramps. If we work with them in a similar way, they can release, relax, and disappear. When you work with PTSD or these traumas, you want to go very slowly for a number of reasons. If you push yourself too quickly, you'll shut down. Nobody likes to be pushed and overwhelmed. And when you're overwhelmed, the whole system could clamp down, lock up. You become overwhelmed and frozen inside. So you want to go very slowly and just work with a little at a time. Because as this old stuff releases and works out of your system, there's only so much your nervous system and you can handle. You get worn out. You get weary and you begin to shut down. So take it easy. You've got all the time in the world. You don't want to solve this all at once. A little every day. Baby steps will get you there, usually much more quickly than pushing yourself too hard. It also helps you integrate and receive the relaxation more deeply if you go slowly and you take it in as you're able to take it in. So go very slowly, baby steps. Secondly, pendulate. And what do I mean by that? That's a phrase that Peter Levine coined. And what it means is that you feel the trauma, you experience at least some of the trauma, and then you swing like a pendulum and you connect to something good, something that feels good, like feel the presence of your pet. You might hug an animal or your spouse, or you might be in nature and you might be around trees or walking barefoot on the grass. You connect to the trauma, and then you connect to something good. You swing like a pendulum. You connect to your trauma, and maybe you recall something good that's happened today, and you feel that. And then you swing back and connect to your trauma, and perhaps you remember something that you enjoyed a month ago, or a year ago, or last week. You swing back to your trauma, and you feel it, and then you pendulate or swing back and connect to nature. So you simply go back and forth. You're mixing the energy of your trauma as you connect to it. You're then swinging and connecting to something good, receiving something good. You're mixing the two energies. And in that way, the old trauma, which is stuck in the past, can update its files, relax, look around, connect, receive, and learn that everything is okay now. The energies mix, and all of the trauma, the anger, the hurt, or the fear can begin to bleed out and mix and receive joy and happiness and nature and consciousness and oneness, awareness, everything that's good, good experiences, good feelings. Everything is okay. And in that okayness, there's no tension. There's only relaxation, release, letting go, and healing, goodness. And just like a massage, when you have muscle tension, you're mixing your muscle tension as your muscle is gently massaged with relaxation. And as that muscle receives that relaxation, it begins to release, relax, and let go until it's no more. You do this gently, swinging back and forth, until perhaps the pendulating is not even recognizable. Maybe it's just a continual mixing of tension with relaxation. Or in the case of inner disturbance, it might be old trauma made of hurt, fear, or anger mixing with goodness and joy and happiness and relaxation. There's a reason why the title of my podcast is Awakening Together, Relaxing into Happiness. Because ultimately, it's this letting go that happens when we receive relaxation. And it begins to penetrate and mix with those things that have been blocking us from ourselves. those things that have been blocking us from ourselves, relax, release, and let go, just like the muscle does in a massage and just like the PTSD does when we go through this process. So the first step is baby steps. Go slowly. Secondly, you pendulate. You swing back and forth and you receive goodness. You let go into it. The third step is embedded in the second one, which is to receive. When something receives, something that's tense and hurt, when it receives relaxation, it releases, relaxes, and lets go. So on all spiritual practices, you want to receive. If that part's not done, then the tension or the area that you want to let go and merge into oneness, it usually doesn't release because it hasn't received. But when it does receive, when it does take in relaxation or happiness or joy, it relaxes, releases, and lets go. And we all know that. Let's say your feelings are hurt and somebody says, "I'm sorry," and you receive it. What happens to those hurt feelings? They're gone. There's nothing left to work with. You go, "Oh, thank you." And your hurt feelings are gone. Or if you're angry and somebody says, "Oh, I'm so sorry. That was my fault. I am so wrong. I'm sorry. What can I do?" You immediately soften up, release, relax. What happens to your anger? Gone. There's nothing left to work with because you received. So in all spiritual practices, including meditation, as you're watching your emotions, you're watching your thoughts that come up, let them receive the goodness of your awareness. Let them soak that up. And we'll talk about that in future podcasts, but it's fundamental, not just to PTSD, but all of your spiritual practices. So go slowly, pendulate, and receive. Soak it up. And as you soak up goodness, you'll feel inside yourself relaxing. You'll feel the trauma releasing, relaxing, and letting go. But remember, with PTSD, it's so balled up and tight that there may be several layers, and it will have its own time frame. You can't push it. You have to ask it more or less and go at the speed that it's ready to go. Which brings us to a final point. If you treat the PTSD like an object, like, "Oh, I'm doing fine, but I have a tight stomach. It's a block. That's my PTSD. It's where it's residing." Then you're working with this object over there, and it's harder for it to receive because it's dissociated and isolated over there. In reality, there's only one person inside of you, and that's you. So you're the one that's creating the tension. It's not something that just happens to be over there or something that happened to you. Yes, an event did happen to you, but how you encoded it was up to you. It's not your fault, because how do we encode traumatic things? It's just difficult. But nonetheless, what's going on today, there's no traumatic event going on outside of you, most likely. So what's being held in you today, you're holding it in you today. What I'm getting at is it can proceed much more easily and quickly if you reassociate rather than dissociate. The tension in your stomach in this example, instead of "it's a tension in my stomach over there," you own it and say, "I am tense. I am tensing up my stomach. I am hurting. I am angry. I am afraid. I am hurt." Whatever it is, you own it. You say it. "And because of that, I'm tensing up my stomach." because you're owning it now, you fully, wholeheartedly can receive because you're in charge of the whole activity. You're owning it. So you can receive and say, I am hurting, I'm hurting, I'm hurting. And then you ask yourself, can you receive? You pendulate to something good. And then you ask yourself, can I receive a little goodness? And you might be surprised that you say no. It might take a while. You go slowly. Be nice to yourself. And then you might notice you desire to receive a lot and have everything relax very quickly and the pain to go, but you're not able to. You're only able to receive perhaps just a drop of goodness. So just take in a drop. Don't skip over yourself. Listen to yourself and receive what you can receive. That's what I mean by go slowly. Receive what you can receive. Soak it up. And you might even ask yourself, does that feel better or does that feel worse? Just very simple yes or no questions. That feels better. Good. Then soak that up. Make it easy and just focus on receiving. Use whatever works for you to receive. With each drop that you receive and soak up, there's a letting go. Eventually, slowly, as you pendulate, more drinking in, more receiving, more soaking up, and then there's a release, a relaxing, and a letting go. And once that muscle cramp or that inner emotional cramp releases and relax and lets go, it's gone. There's nothing else to deal with, and you don't have to keep doing your spiritual practices over and over and over every day to desperately feel better, because that underlying cramp is still there every day because it's never been touched. This is how you do it. Well, I hope this is clear enough. If you want more information, you can get Peter Levine's book, Healing Trauma. I find the audiobook actually very good because he walks you through various exercises that are along these lines, and they can be very, very healing. In a later podcast, we're going to look at a different approach by Richard Swartz called Inner Family Systems that is also getting to some of this inner trauma, but in a very, very different way. Finally, if you go to my website, which you'll find the website address under my profile on whatever platform you're listening. If you go to my website and go under resources, you're going to find a couple of video clips by Peter Levine that really show you the physicality of this inner cramp. And even if it looks emotional or feels emotional, he's going to go through some things that I think would make an impression and bring this together for you in a deeper way. If in the process of working with your PTSD, you really feel overwhelmed suddenly, remember, you always have the option to go call a therapist, find a therapist, and work with somebody that knows what to do with PTSD. Be sure to ask them if they have worked with PTSD, because not all therapists have. But that's another option if you really get to that point. Most of this you can handle on your own, but if you ever get to a point where you can't, call somebody to help you. It's really, really worth it. In the next podcast, we're going to cover much of the same material. Perhaps I'll say it in different ways that will resonate with you differently. This is such an important subject, and it applies to PTSD and really every emotional trauma, thought, emotion that is stuck in your system that keeps reoccurring that you might experience as you're meditating and doing spiritual practices and wondering, Why am I overwhelmed with thinking? Why am I overwhelmed with emotions continually? This process helps every level of this to at least some degree. So I think it's an important one, and we'll spend some more podcasts on it. If this is enough, just skip over the next podcast or two and move on to other subjects. Okay, I enjoy talking with you, and I look forward to talking with you next time. Take care. Bye. Hello, this is William Cooper. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider following me and sending somebody a link so they can enjoy it too. Thanks so much.